I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes. Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Away we go, number two of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. And you could think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Adam Pac-Man Jones going to join us coming up 20 minutes from now. But first up, we do this segment every Monday and Friday on good old CBS Sports Radio. It's five questions. It's five answers. We call it onsides, offside. Let's not even waste five more seconds. Hot take, Hickey. You know the dealio. Hit it!
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
So, by the way, I posted a photo on my Twitter, at Zach Gelb, which you could find, of me walking around New York City with a cardboard cutout and a little sign that says, I can't pick a winner on the DA show these days. Hickey, my NFL picks on DA show the last 2 weeks, wild card weekend against the spread, 0 for 3. Last weekend, 0 for 3. My picks have just been brutal. Like, I'm not necessarily getting wrong for each and every game on who I think is going to win the game, but I can't pick by how many points they're going to win by or be within. It's just, it's been rough. Like, Pat Boyle, who lost to me in the regular season. I beat him in the regular season, then Pat wanted to try to find a way to get in the picks competition next year, so he issued this challenge for the playoffs. Fair is fair. That's what he did. I accepted it. You know, no regrets. But I started to then pick against Pat in the postseason. Pat's only got two games right. Two! And he's easily going to kick my ass in this with three games left. So I have a photo on my Twitter if you want to see it of me walking around New York City owning up my misfortune so far.
Now, it's not similar to Sean last year who after, I forget even what the bet was, had to walk around outside here with the shirt off, chest painted, holding a sign of Fire Gettleman or Gettleman was wrong.
Somebody, yeah,
I forget whatever
like
it was. He was holding a sign, not the same vein.
He was painted like a blue blob.
You like weren't painted.
No.
No red or like green.
I actually have a little self-respect for myself.
So. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I wouldn't put myself in that position.
Same idea, different execution.
Which, by the way, this is not part of the bet payoff. This was just me on my own accord. You know, I don't make excuses when I lose. I just wanted to let the whole world know that I was absolutely horrible. So I was walking around the city today with the sign saying that I can't pick games right on the DA show. And Kevin Carter, the former NFL defensive lineman, has 100 sacks in his career. He just shot me a tweet that if you need some help from a fellow colleague, reach out. Now, here's the one thing I'll say about Kevin Carter, as much as I love Kevin Carter. He lost the bet to me once, and still has not paid off the bet. Do you have any idea? I don't think you work with me yet. Kevin Carter, this is going back to the weekend overnight days. He bet me at Radio Row, Patriots and Rams when the Super Bowl was in Atlanta, that the Rams would beat the Patriots. He said if he lost, he would give me 100 pennies. Never got any pennies from him when my Patriots beat his Rams. So I don't know if, A, Kevin Carter's even good at predicting these games as great as he is on CBS because he lost that bet to me. And how could I trust him with the big information if I can't trust the man to pay me the 100 pennies that he owes me?
I think you are the big winner. getting 100 pennies not worth it. In this day and age with everything going cashless, I'm not even sure if you could even find a place to trade in 100 pennies.
Oh, yeah, you can. It's called the bank.
I would say, you know what, thank you. You keep your 100 pennies. I'm okay.
It's the principle, though. You lose a bet, you got to pay off your bet. You got to pay off those debts that you owe
people. I get it. I still think you're a big winner here by avoiding carrying around 100 pennies and having to go to the bank and having to, you know, fold them and put them in the little, you know, either the coin slot.
What do you mean?
What do you know what I mean? Either if you go to the bank, you got to put them in the coin rolls.
Walk up to the teller. Hey, here's 100 pennies. Give me a dollar. Very simple.
You can't just drop it on the teller. You got to put it in the rolls. You got to roll them yourself.
Or
you go to Coinstar and then you lose. Like, they take 15 cents of that dollar and now all of a sudden you're down to 85 cents.
Or we make you useful. When I need a snack from the vending machine.
Me useful.
You could just keep on putting the pennies in the vending machine one after another to get to the dollar. Then I get a bag of chips.
I think it's coinless. So, again, coins are not the way to go these days. I tell you, you are the big winner by not getting 100 pennies from Kevin Carter.
It could be the principle. Pennies, though.
Then, all right, then I can't help you then.
You don't win that many bets. When you win a bet, you want to collect your earnings here. Which,
collect
by the way,
them within reason.
On Monday, very, very, very early. I don't think you asked me about this at Onside's Offside, so I don't want to kill the segment if you do, so I apologize. Very early, early, early predictions. I'm just talking about winners. I like the Bengals in the AFC title game, and I like the Eagles in the NFC title game. Yourself, early Monday prediction. We will not hold you to this until we make the final predictions on Friday.
Bengals, Niners.
Bengals and, wow, you're going against Kansas City.
Yeah, I don't like going against my preseason Super Bowl pick, and when we did our playoff picks, going against also my Super Bowl pick, but don't like the health of Patrick Mahomes right
now. What was your preseason like Super Bowl pick?
Chiefs Rams.
Oh, okay. I was thinking to myself, you picked the when you said preseason pick.
Oh, Niners.
I thought you
meant
that more Kansas City. I didn't know if you were talking about both.
No, yeah, KC. So I don't like, you know me, I like when I'm dug in, I like to stay there.
Yeah, you're very stubborn.
I don't like to move. But with that said, I think the Mahomes injury does change the calculus.
So still disrespecting Philadelphia?
Yeah, well, not disrespecting. I think the Niners are equally, if not a better team. So they're right neck and neck.
So then why wouldn't the home field advantage maybe make you go pick Philadelphia?
Because I like the Niners. I think they're a better team.
Okay.
They're both, you know, the two best teams in the NFC. I don't think it's disrespectful to, you know, I'll say this. It's way more disrespectful to pick the Giants, like I did last week, than it is pick the Niners this week.
I'm just trying to figure out where we could really go at it this week, because we're in agreement with the Bengals. Now, I think that's going to be a close, just ridiculous game in Philly next week. Could be a very sloppy game, too, between the Eagles and Niners. I just don't know if I have the energy right now on Monday to fight you on this all week long and try to make you get embarrassed and look like a fool at the end of the week. So we'll see how the week progresses.
Well, I looked like a fool last week saying Daniel Jones and the Giants had a quarterback advantage going into the game. So
yeah, and you know what? Shame on me, because I should have laid the 7.5 there. I thought the Eagles were going to win. I just thought the Giants were going to backdoor cover. So that's why I plus the 7.5 points. But when you said that, I should have then jumped all in on the Eagles just blowing out the New York Giants. So I have to learn a little bit. But I give you credit. I got to give you credit. In some way, you were all over the Niners winning. I thought the Cowboys were going to keep it close, plus the 4 points. And I then picked them to win the game outright. So I was wrong on that. And the irony of that, me trusting the drama Dallas choking Cowboys came back to burn me. Now, it wasn't 38-13 like you predicted, but I think you kind of skate free there because they did cover the spread. But if the Cowboys would have won that game, because a little birdie told me that you took my advice, that you did lead on Saturday morning on the overnight, but that the Cowboys weren't going to win the game and they were just going to get destroyed and just absolutely annihilated by the Niners. I saw early on Twitter when that game was tight between Dallas and the Niners that there were some people that were tweeting at you like, oh, what do you know? Blah, 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 blah. I think you would have been taking a big time beatdown today if the Cowboys would have won that game.
Which also goes to show you the state of the Cowboy fan, where here we are trying to get moral victories, talking about they're keeping it close so far. All right, you're keeping it close. Congratulations. They lost the game. They didn't cover the spread, but you got it within a touchdown. That's what we're talking about now.
You were a big topic of conversation, by the way, this weekend in the press box. A lot of people talking to me about Hot Take Hickey. Jeff Kerr at CBS when I was at Eagles and Giants. John Kincaid, who used to host here at CBS Sports Radio. Dear, dear, dear friend of mine. We were sitting right next to each other in the press box. And JK was talking a lot about your stupid Daniel Jones takes. Hey, a lot of people in the Evan Washburn I saw A lot of people, first thing they said to me after how you doing was, man, how do you work with Hickey? He has some bad takes. And I go, man, they haven't been listening to my gambling picks, I guess.
Yeah, what is with the selective listening? I see that's a trend for everyone you run into. It's all of a sudden, how dumb is Hickey? I can't believe he said that. I can't believe he said this. Like, what an idiot. What a moron.
Maybe they don't have the cojones to just say that my picks were bad. Maybe. Maybe they were in agreement with my picks. But a lot of people, they had, like, receipts. Like, they were Robert Saleh just with take after takes that you've had that they kept on bringing up. So I was just trying to enjoy the game and watch and take it in. But when people start taking shots at you, yeah, I'll participate.
It's good to know. I guess if I ever go to Philly, I got plenty of places to stay for free, I guess. That is for sure.
Go ahead.
That is for sure. All right, we'll get to that game in a little bit. But let's start with Sunday's game, Bengals-Bills. Because the Bengals, as we know, went into that game missing three starters on the offensive line. And guess what? It didn't matter. They proceeded to dominate the Bills' front. They allowed just one sack and one tackle for loss on 32 rush attempts. Cincinnati averaged over 5 yards per carry, rushed for 172 yards as a team. Speaking of rushing, let's go to Saturday night's game. The Eagles' ground attack was unstoppable as they racked up 268 rushing yards and their 38-7 blowout win over the Giants. Onside or offside, Zach, the Bengals' offensive line had the most impressive performance of the weekend.
Yeah, but when you parlay it in with Joe Burrow, and here's why. It's because the opponent that you were going up against. Like, the Eagles dominating the Giants, impressive, but the Giants don't have the same amount of talent as the Eagles have. If you want to talk about the Niners surviving against the Cowboys, a lot of people, I think, were like Hickey, where the Niners were going to dominate. They did not dominate that game. I know you could say Mahomes, with the way that he was able to get that win, was very impressive, but until the injury, no one actually ever thought Kansas City could have lost that game up against Jacksonville. But the Bengals and Bills, we thought they were neck and neck. I thought they were the two best teams in the AFC, and Cincinnati didn't just only go into Buffalo and walk out with the victory. They absolutely annihilated the Buffalo Bills. To be out three offensive linemen that are starters, and Joe Burrow still play as great as he did, that's the most impressive performance to me this weekend, so onsides.
The Cowboys suffered an excruciating end to their season as their offense let them down big time.
It almost is like I won, though, because I do enjoy seeing the Cowboys lose this way, even though I picked them.
It was another tough one.
Cowboys?
That's sure. Not saying that after the game, Jerry Jones.
He was
Dallas,
crying.
He was upset. I would be, too, if I watched my offense, highly paid offense, score one touchdown.
You know what's funny? With the Cowboys, it's never now about winning another Super Bowl. For, like, Jerry Jones, it's like, oh, I'm never going to get back to an NFC title game. Since 1995, I haven't been to one. My quarterback, I paid him $40 million, but he's not that great. Stinks.
That it does. That
here's
$40 million
a year quarterback. Dallas Cowboys fans, enjoy those.
One touchdown, 12 points, and the aforementioned $40 million a year man, Dak Prescott. Two costly interceptions led to six points for the Niners.
And almost took a safety late.
That might have been the most egregious play in terms of what you were thinking, where he tried to run over a defensive lineman and got lucky.
You know what? It's almost like the Family Guy episode where the Mets season starts. It's like, here's the first pitch and the season's over. There was like so much drama in that moment, and to go three and out of that spot, woof.
Woof is right. Mike McCarthy punted three different times on fourth down where there's maybe a thought of going for it, and said he did play conservative and also helped dial up what was one of the worst plays in history as Ezekiel Elliott lined up under center.
Not worse Turpin than the Colts punt, though.
No, it's worse.
No, it's not.
It is worse.
It's not.
Time,
not.
Situation. The Colts are never supposed to snap the ball. This was a set play for the Eagles.
Once again, you're like now like Cowboys. A Cowboys fan where you try to take like these minor victories and losses. That still does not excuse your team for their pathetic performances and incompetence.
Well, Ezekiel, we now know, if there's a case of any doubt, he cannot play center. That play got blown up. And as you mentioned, Jerry Jones not getting to an NFC title game. 12th straight playoff appearance for the Cowboys without advancing to the said NFC title game. The longest drought in NFL history. Onsides or offsides? Both Mike McCarthy, head coach, and Dak Prescott, quarterback, will be back for Dallas next season.
Dak will be. 2 years left of that contract. McCarthy, they didn't have an announcement. Or no, let me rephrase this. Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones didn't do their interviews that they usually do after games on Mondays with 105.3 The Fan. So I wonder if they're debating about Mike McCarthy coming back. But something tells me that McCarthy right now will be back. But if he isn't, it's either going to be Sean Payton or Dan Quinn. I'm still thinking McCarthy's back, but that's the one that makes me say, wait a second, with the McCarthy and Dak conversation. But I'm going to say right now, both will be back for Dallas next year.
The Chiefs were able to avoid a catastrophic disaster on Saturday as Patrick Mahomes thankfully avoided serious injury after going down with a high ankle sprain in the first half. He did return for the second half and led Kansas City to 10 points, made all of his throws in the pocket, which is the second time this season that he made all of his throws in and a half from the pocket. As you know, one of the things that makes Patrick Mahomes great, his ability to extend plays outside and throw the ball, you know, deep when the defense is stretched out. Head coach Andy Reid did say the team will go about this week like Mahomes will play, although admittedly the head coach is not sure if the former MVP can practice this week. Onsides or offsides, the Bengals should be favorites heading to Sunday's matchup in Arrowhead against the Chiefs.
So you're just asking me if I think the Bengals are a better team, because usually the home team is going to be a three-point favorite normally.
Well, no, should Vegas make them the, you know, with Mahomes' injury, should they make them the favorite?
Yeah, I think Cincinnati has defeated, I know they've defeated the Chiefs the last three times. I think they're the better team. I think with the line now being at like one in favor of Kansas City, that's Vegas telling you that the Bengals are the better team. But since Kansas City didn't get the three outright, that's kind of showing you that they believe a lot in the Bengals. And they're basically making this game a pick 'em. But I would make Cincinnati the favorite, whether it's by 1 point, 2 points, whatever. They're the better team to me. So, yeah, they should be the favorite, in my opinion, on sides.
So, great ESPN analyst Dan Orlovsky joined us last hour. He was also on ESPN early this morning and had some interesting words when talking about the best quarterback in the league and who it is.
I think he stole my take. If I would have known about this beforehand, I think I was the first media member to go in this kind of realm of thinking. But continue.
Orlovsky said Patrick Mahomes is the best and most talented player in the NFL right now, but that Joe Burrow is the best quarterback in the league. He mentioned the former number one overall pick's ability to understand play calls, how to read defenses, know where to go with the football, timing of the offense, rhythm, accuracy. All of that adds up to, in Orlovsky's mind, Joe Burrow being the best quarterback in the NFL. Onsides or offsides, Joe Burrow is the best quarterback right now in the league.
With the way that they're playing right now, is that the way that you would say it?
I would say, well, but wait, Joe Burrow's playing? Or just the
team? I'm just saying, like, right now, who would I rather have this weekend? Is that the question?
No, right now, who's the best quarterback in the league? Not this weekend, overall.
Because the reason why, and let me be clear, my take last week was this, that if Burrow goes into Kansas City, wins again, and then they go on to win the Super Bowl, I think, to me, he would be perceived as the best quarterback in the league. The reason why it's still Mahomes, and we all know Mahomes is jaw-dropping things each and every week, but the reason why it's still Mahomes, he's just been around longer. And he's competed at a higher level longer. Like, Burrow's been great the last 2 years, but if Burrow goes in now and beats Mahomes four straight times and wins a Super Bowl, the only argument you could have for Mahomes is MVP, because they have the same amount of Super Bowls, and Burrow would just be better against them head-to-head. So if he wins this weekend and then goes and wins the next game, I think you can make the case that he is the best quarterback. But right now, I still do believe that Mahomes is considered to be the best quarterback in football. So I guess here I'd be answering offside to this.
Offside!
And finally, all four teams that lost this past weekend did suffer disappointing losses. Jaguars could not cash in on the fact that Patrick Mahomes was hobbled for most of the game. The Giants were steamrolled from the absolute opening kickoff, allowing 268 rushing yards and a 38-7 beatdown. Bills cannot take advantage of a beat-up Bengals offensive line or get in any sort of rhythm offensively in their 17-point loss at home. And the Cowboys' offense is hurt by Dak's two interceptions and, again, only scored 12 points in their loss. Onsides or offsides, the Bills suffered the most disappointing loss of the weekend.
Oh, it's not even close, 1,000%. No one thought the Jaguars would be a playoff team before the start of the year. They got to the playoffs. They won a game. Can't really knock them for losing to Kansas City, even with the injury to Mahomes. The Giants, no one thought they would win more than five games. They got to the playoffs. They won a playoff game. I know they got destroyed. It's a disappointing ending to the season, but it's still a really good season. Dallas, no one thought they were going to the Super Bowl before the start of the year or the NFC title game. Yes, Dak Prescott was extremely disappointing. He was horrible in the game, but Buffalo was Super Bowl or bust. And Buffalo didn't even get to an AFC title game, didn't even get to a Super Bowl. They lose in the division round. Not only lose the division round, if you lose like 23-20 or 37-34, that's one thing. They got absolutely just dismantled by the Bengals. So you asked me the Bills suffered the most disappointing loss of the weekend. Yes, not even close on sides. Adam Pac-Man Jones joins us next.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone, from therapists to exterminators to Lizard Man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
We continue. This is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Conference championship weekend set. You'll have the Bengals going Arrowhead to square off once again against the Kansas City Chiefs. And you also have the Philadelphia Eagles hosting the San Francisco 49ers. Fresh off the Bengals beatdown yesterday in Buffalo. We'll welcome in a former Cincinnati Bengal. Does a great job believing Bengals on the Believe Podcast Network, along with Solomon Wilcots, and that is former Cincinnati Bengal and Adam Pac-Man Jones. Pac-Man, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
Man, I'm good. I'm even better by that win yesterday. I got a chance to listen to you guys earlier, and I will say this. These are the four best teams in the NFL.
I would agree with that. I was between Cincinnati and Buffalo, actually, in the AFC, but if you slide in Kansas City, then I can't really disagree.
I was never in between Cincinnati and Buffalo. I think Buffalo have a good team, but they don't have a better team than Cincinnati. Obviously, it showed this week. I don't think the game would have been close the first time. I think it's one thing about the Bengals, they got good matchups. So when it comes down to these playoff times, you look at the wide receiver core, we got four wide receivers that can stretch the field, four wide receivers that can beat one-on-one coverage, and we got a hell of a running back with Joe Mixon and P-Ron. Then you go back and look at the quarterback position. He's unreal. Like, it's no quarterback that you can say that has been playing better than number nine, Joe Burrow, these last 10 weeks. Like, he was like a dart out there this week. Like, it didn't even look like it was snowing because obviously it didn't slow him down not one bit.
I keep on saying about Joe Burrow, people go, what stands out to you the most about him? And I go, he just has it. I don't know how to describe it, but every time you watch him play, you go, man, that is one of, if not maybe, the best quarterback in the NFL.
Man, he's really special. And when you talk to him, you can tell because he's different. You know, he knows he's special, I should say. But if you just go back and break down the film, like, no quarterback is going through all of their reads and doing the checks like he's doing right now. And I love Patrick Mahomes. He's an unbelievable quarterback. I do think he still is the face of the NFL right now. But if you just go by strictly quarterback mode, I think Joe Burrow is by far the best quarterback in the NFL. Now, Mahomes do got a lot of help with Andy Reid. Andy Reid and the guys up in San Francisco, I think Andy Reid's number one. I guess San Francisco number two when it comes to offensive coordinators. But I do think when you look at the quarterback position, this guy Joe, he's special. It's something that we haven't seen in a while, and he's razor-eye sharp.
I know when you were in Cincinnati, the Bengals right under Marvin Lewis were constantly going to the playoffs, but it got a little bit in an uncomfortable state there the last few years where the team has trended the wrong direction, and he comes in and he really, I don't want to sound too dramatic, Adam Pac-Man Jones, but he totally changed that franchise and saved that franchise because the last 2 years, they just keep on finding a way to get to the big games.
I think Coach Taylor, Zach did a great job. I think more than anybody, I think we should begin a award to Duke Tobin. Duke Tobin did a hell of a job of getting high profile guys in. He went back to back LSU drafts. So I think Duke Tobin got a lot of credit to do with the guys that we have on the team right now. But yeah, man, it's good. And like, this is not a fake. You know, you look at it, you're like, oh, me personally, I knew they would get better down the stretch because the line, our offensive line, at that point up to what, last week or week before last, we played together more than any line in the NFL. So we had just started clicking with the run game and all of that. But I think we're doing a good job up front, and Zach is doing a hell of a job of taking care of the players' body. They all look fresh. You can tell this week no one was, like, you know, sore or complaining about the long season. And that's got a lot to do with what Zach do the whole season of taking care of their bodies.
And also, Adam Pac-Man Jones, I know this is such an offensive league now and the defensive guys don't get the credit, but Lou Anarumo on the defensive side of the ball, this dude better start getting some head coaching interviews because he's been unbelievable.
Hold on. You know, we need Lou for like another year, but I don't know how long he's going to be. Honestly, personally, I got to be honest, he deserves a head coaching job right now, man, with the stuff that he have done the last couple of years. But Lou especially, it's so funny how he switches up the defense every second half. The Bengals only allow, I think, 10 points the second half the last 6 or 8 weeks we've had games. Like, that's hard to do. Like, when you can keep Buffalo for only scoring 3 to 10 points, that means you're doing something good. And the guys up front are unbelievable. Starting with Rita, we already know what Mr. Ohio, how he do on the end. But, like, we got a good cast of guys. Brick, the young guy, played really good this week. Even on the deep ball, he never panicked and got the ball out of there. And you can tell, man, the way Joe carry himself make everybody else play a lot harder and a higher level.
Adam Pac-Man Jones here with us. And don't get this twisted. What I was saying earlier, I thought the two best teams in the AFC were the Bengals and the Bills, and then I thought Kansas City was third. We'll see this matchup once again coming up this weekend. But getting back to yesterday's matchup, what specifically was it that made you so confident going in? Because I was expecting this to be a good game, and it was the farthest thing from a good game, unless you are a Bengals fan, which that was the perfect game you could play.
Well, you got to look at it. Like, when I'm looking at film, I know everybody think I'm just Bengals, Bengals, Bengals. Yes, I do love the Bengals. I love the Cowboys, too. You know, and I love the Titans. But when you I told everybody that the Titans game shouldn't even been a game. But when you go back and look at the Bengals team, if you are on the Bills team, how do you match up? Who do you match up when you're playing man-to-man? Who are you? You have not – you got even the best corner, Johnson. When he playing good, he play good. But every last one of those guys in the secondary, when target, have allowed 100 yards per game. So I felt comfortable because if it got to a shootout, I didn't feel that you guys had no one that can guard us. And it showed this week you guys played a lot of cover two. When we got the man, Joe did exploit it. And I think we did a good job with picking up the blitz. Pete Ryan did a good job of picking up the blitz this week. And I think that helped us a lot, too.
What do you think the game comes down to this weekend? You know the Bengals are going to be confident. They've defeated the Chiefs 3 straight times. What's going to decide who gets to go to the Super Bowl this weekend between the Bengals and Chiefs?
Oh, no, I know. I went to the playoffs 4 times in Cincinnati consecutive years. If we had Joe, we probably won the Super Bowl. And I hate to say it like that, but it is what it is. But I don't think the Chiefs have no one that can guard us. If you look at our roster, we match up with the Chiefs pretty good. We got a guy that can guard Kelsey. He wears number 33. and on the outside, yeah, they good, but they are not elite. I think this all comes down to Lou. Lou have played these guys 3 times. And every time we have played them in the second half, it's damn near shut out every time. So I trust what Lou has in plan because it worked 3 times. If it gets to a shootout, I'm going with Joe.
wrap it up with Adam Pac-Man Jones. I got to get your thoughts on the Cowboys. Dak Prescott did not have his best game, obviously, the other day. Major reason why they lost the game. What stood out to you in that Dallas 49ers contest?
I got to play better. I love Dak. I love him as a person. That wasn't good enough. That wasn't good enough to get us across the drawing board. And you know how it is in Dallas, man. They love hard and they hate hard. So talk about what you've done for me lately. You know, I know he got, what, a year, 2 years on the deal left?
Yeah, 2 years.
I'm eager to see how I go. I know, I think a new head coach is coming. I don't think Jerry stay with the same head coach. We'll see. We'll see who takes the job. Will Sean Payton take the job? Or who will take the job? That's an interesting question.
Well, we'll see if it's available first, but it seems like you're pretty confident that it will be. I guess we'll find out in the next 24 hours or so. It could be Dan Quinn, honestly. They may promote within if they can't go out there and get Sean Payton, Adam Pac-Man Jones.
Yeah, I like Dan Quinn. Or I like Marvin Lewis.
Well, he's interviewed before. Interviewed last time when that job was available and did not get it, but we'll see if Jerry comes calling again. Hey, before we let you run, so you're going with the Bengals over the Chiefs. Is that right in the game, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I'm going with the Bengals over the Chiefs by, I'm going to say 7.
Okay.
It's going to be 3 or 7. I think the game is going to be close. Everett McPherson is back on now, as you can see, of last week. So I think we win by 7.
And who do you like in the NFC between Philadelphia and San Francisco?
I'm scared of the game, but I'm going with the Eagles. My original pick from week one was Bengals-Eagles Super Bowl. I'm going to stick with the Eagles. I think the Eagles got a really good defense. And as you can see, they play really, really fast this week. It really wasn't a game.
Last thing I'll ask you, Adam Pac-Man Jones, the offensive line was a big key going into this one. You knew Lyle Collins out for the season, no Kappa, no Jonah Williams as well, and Burrow really didn't even have to break a sweat. What did you see up front that allowed the Bengals' offensive line to be so successful even when they were rotating in not their usual starters because they were out with injuries?
TJ did a great job of coming in and picking up the protection. And you got to realize, Joe hit 6 different receivers in the first. It was 17-0. You're like, whoa, oh, my God. He had 6 different receivers that touched the ball. So the ball is going everywhere, man. It's a lot of guys that's open. And as you can see, Joe is dissecting everything right now. Like, he's playing at a IQ that I can't even – it's like unreal if you really look at it. If you go back and look at the games, or even when they're in the cover too, he know exactly where to go with the ball. Two man, he take off running. He know exactly what to do. At the end of the half, spike the ball with 2 seconds left on the clock. We still get a 3 out of it. So, like, these things look small, but they're very big in live bullet time.
Adam Pac-Man Jones, make sure you check him out. Believe in Bengals, the Believe Podcast Network, along with Salman Wilcots. We appreciate the time as always.
Thank you, man.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about. like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Now back to the Zach Gelb Show. Touchdowns, sacks, upsets, and last-minute heroics. Another NFL Sunday is in the books, and we've got you covered with the biggest plays and sound bites from another wild week in the National Football League. It's time for No Huddle Offense on the Zach Gelb Show.
Chiefs were looking to host their fifth straight AFC championship game. They would first need to win and then have a Buffalo Bills loss to the Cincinnati Bengals to secure that. They did suffer a scare. Patrick Mahomes did suffer a high ankle sprain, left the game, but did return and ended up going 22 of 30 for 195 yards and two touchdowns. Chad Henne on his drive was 5 of 7 for 23 yards and a touchdown, led that 98-yard TD drive right before the half while Mahomes was getting looked at. Travis Kelce goes for 14 catches for 98 yards and two touchdowns. 14 receptions by a tight end is the most in NFL playoff history. On the ground, you had Isaiah Pacheco going 12 carries for 95 yards. Trevor Lawrence for the Jaguars ends his season 24-39, 217 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. And let's listen up to some highlights. Here's Marquez Valdes-Scantling on a six-yard TD reception to make it 27-17 in the fourth quarter. And then you will hear the Jamal Agnew fumble at the Chiefs' three-yard line, recovered by Kansas City with 5:36 left in the fourth. Here's Mitch Holtis on the Chiefs radio network.
McKinnon sprints in motion to the near flat. Mahomes now steps up in the pocket, throws late, wide open, back of the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City! Marquez Valdes-Scantling on a six-yard touchdown. Third down has been an issue. Now a pass to the right side. And the ball's out. The ball's out. The Chiefs think they've got the football at the three. If they rule this a catch, I did not see the beanbag go down. Kansas City's got the football. They recover the ball at their own three-yard line. Nick Bolton comes out of the fray with the ball.
Chiefs end up winning 27-20 over the Jaguars. Next up, we go to a game I was at in South Philadelphia. The Philadelphia Eagles playing in their first playoff game since last year's beatdown by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You had the bye week. Jalen Hurts looked pretty damn good. 16-24 for 154 yards and two passing touchdowns. Also had nine carries for 34 yards and a rushing score. Kenneth Gainwell, 12 for a buck, 12 on the ground and a touchdown. The Eagles as a team, they ran for 268 yards on 44 carries at 6.1 yards per carry. And on the other hand, Daniel Jones, it looked like the Giants at times didn't trust him. Even when they were down late, they barely threw the ball down the field. And Daniel Jones was 15 of 27 for 135 yards and a pick. Let's listen up to Dallas Goedert, who set the tone with the vicious stiff arm. Also did get a receiving touchdown right out of the gate to make it 7-0. And then Jalen Hurts, you also hear his five-yard touchdown run to make it 28-0 right before halftime. Here is Merrill Reese on the Eagles radio network.
Gainwell goes wide to the far side of the field, empty backfield. Hurts looks. Hurts fires. Complete. He's got Dallas Goedert spinning across the goal line into the end zone. The Eagles score. Hurts is back. He's going to go with the draw. He's going to run. He's going to score. Jalen Hurts.
He's healthy.
The dash up the middle, and he took it left.
It was that simple. The early throw to Devontae Smith, and then when he ran for the touchdown, was all you needed to see to say, okay, Jalen Hurts, all this nonsense about the shoulder and how he's going to be like 60%. He looked pretty damn good to me. You could not tell that he was dealing with the shoulder injury. Bengals and Bills, blowout. A beatdown by the Bengals up against the Bills. Jamar Chase opened things up with a 28-yard TD score to make it 7-0. And then Cameron Taylor-Britt with an interception to officially seal the deal late in the fourth quarter. Here are the sounds of a very excited Dan Hoard and Dave Lapham on the Bengals radio network.
Shotgun snap. Short drop by Burrow. The pressure comes from the left. He throws it. Caught at the
Get
nine.
In.
Chase straight ahead.
Nice.
Into the end zone.
Nice.
Touchdown on the opening drive for Cincinnati. A 28-yard throw, lofted down the middle of the field by Joe Burrow, just a touch throw. Chase reached up at the 8, caught it, and raced straight ahead into the end zone for the score. Allen back to throw on 2nd and 5, pump fakes. Now he's going to launch it deep downfield.
Oh,
intercepted
it,
by Cam Taylor-Britt.
Nice.
And that is officially coffin nail.
Two things off that. Number one, early on when Ja'Marr Chase gets the touchdown, the Bills answer back with having to punt the football after Allen and Diggs couldn't connect deep down left sideline. You said, uh-oh, the Bengals are in trouble. I mean, the Bills are in trouble. But the second part, for a divisional round win, and I love Dan Horton and Dave Lapham, kind of felt like they expected that. Usually you hear, a lot more exciting sound effects. You got a little bit of it from our guy Dave Lapham, but I think he kind of is now not getting complacent, but he knows it's Super Bowl or bust, so let's not freak out, Hickey, about a divisional round win, even though it was the most impressive win of the weekend.
So Joe Burrow effect. You go into Buffalo, say, we expect to win, and as you see a win, it says, yeah, not surprising.
And I'm glad you word it that way, the Joe Burrow effect, because the Bengals are 3-0 in road playoff games with Joe Burrow. Before that, in their franchise's history, they never won a road playoff game before Joe Burrow. How about that? Josh Allen, on the other hand, 25 of 42 for 265 yards and a pick. We'll go back to Joe Burrow, 23 of 36, 242 yards and 2 touchdowns. Without his 3 starting offensive linemen. Also, Joe Mixon, 20 for a 105 and a score. Ja'Marr Chase, 5 for 61 in that touchdown. As the Bengals are off to the AFC title game for the 2nd year in a row, where they'll go up against the Kansas City Chiefs, who they've beat 3 times in a row. There'll be an Arrowhead coming up the later game on Sunday. And finally, Niners and Cowboys. We'll hear Christian McCaffrey, a 2-yard rushing touchdown to make it 16-9 in the 4th quarter to give the 49ers the lead. And then we'll hear the final play, as I don't even know how to describe what the Cowboys are trying to do. Let's see if Greg Papa and Tim Ryan can do it right.
Purdy out of the shotgun. Kittle and Juszczyk are right. Ayuk the other side. Hand off McCaffrey. Touchdown! San Francisco! Ezekiel Elliott is going to play center.
I think I saw Kellen Moore do this at Boise State about 15 years ago.
He's ineligible, though. Why would they leave Beata? Shouldn't he do that? He snaps it back to Dak Prescott.
Oh,
he throws over the middle to Turpin. He gets hammered down by Jimmy Ward. The game is over.
What a way to end it.
The 49ers are on their way to Philadelphia.
What a way to end it. Ezekiel Elliott just got destroyed by Aziz Alshire right on his head. And then Jimmy Ward sawed it down right away on Turpin.
Hickey, no one's really had a good explanation about what happened on that final play. I think all you need to do is just play the laughing, and only the laughing, of Tim Ryan right when Ezekiel Elliott gets hit. And I think I could figure out exactly then what happened all off that, because that was comical.
And Greg Popp made a great point. If he's ineligible, why are you going to have a running back? Basically, like, maybe it's just I get you trying to, like,
and all
you know.
That. Yeah,
but it's like,
I get you. You'd rather have him to start getting the ball, but he has no explosiveness anyway.
And you're not wrong. He can't block. His center days, if there's ever a question, the backup emergency center is not Ezekiel Elliott.
My friend, who is not good at football, but he somehow started for us at center on our high school team, he texted me today. He goes, I look like Ezekiel Elliott. Zeke looked like me blocking in high school. I thought that was a great line. We'd have some problems in the huddle. Our running back would always look at our center and be like, stop laughing. It's not funny. I keep on getting hit. You suck. And that was Zeke. Brock Purdy, Mr. Relevant to very relevant. Didn't have his best day. 19-29, 214 yards, but good enough. George Kittle, 5 catches for 95 yards about every camera on Fox. Run CMC, 57 total yards and a score. And Dak, 23-37, 206 yards, a touchdown, and 2 picks. Disappointed in the biggest moment once again. At least a good day for CeeDee Lamb at the office. 10 catches for 117 yards. But the Cowboys are going home. They lose to the Niners 19-12. And the Cowboys have now failed to reach the NFC Championship game in 12 straight playoff appearances. That is the longest drought in NFL history. Okay, we'll break. We'll come on back. We'll connect on the other side in 5 minutes with one of CBS Sports' best NFL analysts. Maybe the best NFL analyst in the sports world right now. Charles Davis joins us next.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.